Erev Rosh Hashanah. Okay. Okay, I thought just a couple of things before we begin. Those that were with us for Shabbos, I'm sure enjoyed very much the Shabbos. Those that were not with us, Bez Hashem will have more opportunities. We should have a lot of opportunities to get together in these type of settings. I still have the packets from Shabbos, those that didn't get the packets from Shabbos. Welcome to get the packets from Shabbos. And okay. Today we're going to have the shiur on Zman HaYom and Batseis HaKochavim. This is the seventh Sunday shiur, S7. Next week, Bez Hashem, Jonathan Mantel is getting married in L.A., so I'm going to Bez Hashem be there. So they will, the way it looks now, if anything changes, I'll let you know that there will not be shiur on Sunday. Okay? Which will give you an opportunity to finish the Chazara for the Chazar B'Chsav, which will be postponed to Monday, a week from this Monday. Okay? We're almost finished with Chazara. We'll finish the questions maybe tomorrow, or and then there will be, I'll let you know day by day how we're going to do it. Some days maybe I'll just give you the time to do Chazara. Some days I'll give you some couple of more packets related to the things that we've done in the past, the new packets, which are very important, which I didn't give out yet. So the course of the week, there should be ample time to Chazara for the things that we've done already. And the new packets won't be on this Chazar B'Chsav, they'll be on the next one, don't worry. And I just, as I've told you, the point of the Chazara is for you to have a sense of accomplishment. There's no point in giving it before you really feel you have a handle on it. And I realize there's a lot of material, especially there's the halacha shiurim, etc. And I'd be more than happy to spend any time with anyone who needs to go over any of the points that that we reviewed and we want to review it again. Please let me know. Don't feel embarrassed. That's what we're here for. So please let me know. I'll do anything to help anyone out in anything. And so please let me know. And, you know, so when you come next Monday, you'll feel a sense, you know, there's no surprises as we've discussed in the past. You know what the Chazara is like. And it's a lot of important in Yonim. And, you know, if you just learn Sanhedrin, you won't get to these inyanim, you know. And if we'll wait till get to every Masechta that has these inyanim, so we'll have the 30-year smicha program, and you know, so we'll try to learn these very interesting inyanim, and we'll have more interesting inyanim as the year proceeds. Okay. Okay, so let us begin. One of the interesting, very crucial areas of halacha is the definition of the day. When does the day end? When does the day begin? It's very relevant for major parts of halacha. Very significant, of course, is the end of Shabbos, the beginning of Shabbos. Right? When does Shabbos end? When does Shabbos begin? And of course, it's relevant every day. When is night? When can you daven Maariv? When could you? But those things are not as chomer as Shabbos, because Shabbos is a skila. So it's very important to know when Shabbos begins and when Shabbos ends, what's a chumrah, what could be maybe relied on b'shas hadchak. It's a very significant discussion. Bris Milah is another very significant area when a baby is born. So if the baby is born 11:35 on a Sunday morning, so then there's no question if the baby's healthy when the bris is. But once it's born shkia time, so then it's very relevant. Filling out a ksuba could also be an interesting, if you're planning to get married in the months of that the sun sets early and the chuppah is going to be somewhere in that time frame, and then that really deserves its own packet. Hopefully I'm going to tie that into Sanhedrin, like I figured out to tie everything else into Sanhedrin, so why shouldn't I be able to tie this into Sanhedrin? So, but this is also a very relevant, how to date a ksuba. What's the, because if you date the ksuba wrong, they could passel the ksuba in certain situations. So these are very fundamental issues. So let us begin. The Gemara in Shabbos on Lamedala Mabez Tan Rabbana Bein Hashmasha Sofik Min Hayom Umin Halayla. There is a period during the 24-hour interval of the day called Bein Hashmashos. Bein Hashmashos is Sofik Yom Sofik Laila. Now we'll see exactly when this time is. In other words, there are three parts to the 24-hour interval. There's a part that is, well, the Jewish day starts at night. So, night, well, let's talk on the day. Here's the day. The day begins Alos HaShachar. Alos HaShachar, dawn. That is the beginning of the day. The day part of the day. Right? The night, the day is the night of the day, the night before the day. But the day part of the day, begins when? Alos HaShachar. That's before sunrise. That's before sunrise. The sun is beneath the horizon and is shooting up its rays, so there is light in the area, but it's the ball of the sun is still below the horizon. And then the sun set, the sun rises, and then there is day, Vadayom. Now, it's Vadayom already from Alos HaShachar, I don't want to get into that. Then there's a period of time called Bein HaShmashos, and we'll have to see exactly when that begins. And that's the Sofik Yom, Sofik Laila. And then there's Tzeis HaKochavim. And Tzeis HaKochavim is Vaday Laila. Tzeis HaKochavim is three Kochavim. Three middle-sized Kochavim is Tzeis HaKochavim, and that's Vaday Laila. So, sometime before Tzeis HaKochavim is the ambiguous period called Bein HaShmashos, that Sofik Yom Sofik Laila. So obviously we have to know when. So this shiur is here to discuss when is that Sofik period, because once the Sofik period comes on Friday, you got to stop doing malacha. Because even though it's a Sofek, but Sofek Naraisa L'chumra. So it might be what? It might be Laila. And if it's Laila, then you're not allowed to do Malacha anymore. And when it's... And then the period of Tzeis HaKochavim comes, and the period of Tzeis HaKochavim comes, and then it's Vaday Laila. And then that means that on Motzai Shabbos, that's when you could start doing
malacha. Oh. So, again, to really go through every last issue in this sugya will take weeks, which we're not going to be doing right now. Look on the bottom of the page here. I'm sorry I didn't put an arrow on the bottom, but there's a bracket there. Five lines from the bottom. Ela plosa riva mila. That the Gemara says that Bein Hashmashos period is 3/4 of a mil. So let's assume, a mil is how many, assume it's 18 minutes. So the argument's sake. If a mil is 18 minutes, so 3/4 of a mil would be 13.5 minutes. So the Gemara says, for 13.5 minutes is the limbo period. 3/4 of a mil is the limbo period that we don't know whether it's Yom or Laila. Because the stars are not out yet, but it's still pretty dark. So that's the hazy period. The 13.5 minutes. After those 13.5 minutes come, then what? Then it's Seisov Kochavim, rather light. The only question is, when are those 13.5 minutes? When do they begin? So, that is going to be the major discussion over here. Now, if you look on Lamed Aleph Amud Beis on that same page here, let's look further up. Tana Rabbanan, where we began the beginning of the shiur, 4 lines from the top. Bein Hashmashos Sofik Bein Hayom Sofik Bein Halayla. In other words, Bein Hashmashos has many sfeikas to it. It might be part night, part day. Sofik Kulu Bein Hayom Sofik Kulu Bein Halayla. We don't know what it is. In other words, the 13.5 minutes might be all considered part of the day. It might be all considered part of the night. It might be half and half. These 13.5 minutes, we don't know what it is. It might be all day, or it might be all night. Or, in other words, we don't know what the halacha considers these 13.5 minutes. It might be the first 2 minutes are still day, and the next 11 minutes are, the whole 13.5 minutes is one big suffering. So then, the remark continues, the Ezel Bein HaShmashos, Mishetish Kachamba, Holds Man Shepnei Mizrach Madinu. That when does the Bein HaShmashos period begin? When the sun sets. Holz man shepnei mizrach madimin, as long as when the sun sets, the sun sets in the west, but the rays of the sun are still projecting, so the mizrach still has light there. So since right, because the sun is now below the horizon, the sun set, and the rays are projecting into the clouds. So even on the east, there's still some brightness. Hichsif ha-tachton v'lo hichsif ha-elyon bein ha-shmashos. So when the Hichsif means it darkens. So if the bottom part Hichsif ha-tachton v'los Hichsif ha-elyon bein ha-shmashos Hichsif ha-elyon v'hishvil ha-tachton zev laila. Divrei Rabbi Yehuda.
So again, it says, Eizel Beina Shmoshos, when does Beina Shmoshos begin? Misha Tishka Chama, when the sun sets, is calls Manshut the name Mizrach Madim. In other words, the sun sets and it's still red in the east because the light is being projected. That's Beina Shmoshos. But once it gets darkened, now there are two parts that are getting darkened. There's the top part of the east and the bottom part. So hichsif ha-tachton velo hichsif ha-elyon. In other words, when the rays are being projected, so the rays are still being projected to the elyon, right? To the clouds in the west and in the east. So if it's hichsif ha-tachton, once the tachton, the bottom, in other words, below the clouds, are darkened, so it's still Beina Shmashos, but then hichsif ha-elyon v'hishmil ha-tachton, once the whole part of the east is blackened, zehu layla. So again, to make it clear, in other words, the sun is dipping below the horizon, so that's Shkiyas HaChama. So the whole ball is below the horizon, and now it's starting to get dark all over. So that's Beina Shmashos. Now, how long is that period? So that's the Gemara in the bottom, that's 3/4 of a meal. That whole thing takes 13 and a half minutes. So to make things clear, for 13 and a half minutes after the sun sets, that is what? Called Beina Shmashos. For 13 and a half minutes is the limbo period. Once the 13 and a half minutes is gone, we're already at the 13 and a half minute point, then what? That's Vaday Laila. Wow. Wow, that's a pretty good cooling. You never saw anyone do that. That would mean that according to don't leave the shir yet. don't leave before 1 o'clock. But according to this, what we learned till now, that if you have to go somewhere on Tzai Shabbos, so 13 and a half minutes after shkia, stop the gas, you know, put the ignition, you know, put the key in the, you know, that's it. 13 and a half minutes, and you're out. That's the simple reading of this Gemara.
Oh. Now, the problem at hand is there's another Gemara in Pesachim on page 4 on Tzadi Dala Namar Aleph. Okay. Yeah, forget where I put the arrow. In the middle of the page, the first word on the line, in the middle of the page is Mishkiya Sachama. The first word on the line is Mishkiya Sachama. Okay? First word on the line is Mishkiya Sachama. Got it? Mishkiya Sachama Vatseisa Kochovim Arba Milan. The Gemara says that there are 4 mil from Shkia to Tzeisa Kochav. So again, if a meal is 18 minutes, so 4 meal means what? 72 minutes. So this Gemara says that there's 72 minutes from Shkia to Tzeisa Kochav. Now, we're confronted here with a major contradiction. Because the Gemara that we saw in Shabbos says that Beina Shmashos is only what? 3/4 of a meal. Beina Shmashos is only 3/4 of a meal. And Beina Shmashos starts at what? At Shkia. So that Gemara Shabbos says that
the shkia, then for 13 and a half minutes is suffik, and then once the 13 and a half minutes are over, that's what? Seis ha-pachomim, that's where the three stars. And that's vadai laila. And here we have a gemara that says it's 4 mil. 4 mil, that means 18 times 4, that's 72 minutes. That's 72 minutes. So that means that 72 minutes after Shkia, that's what Seis HaKochom is. Now that's a pretty big contradiction. That's a pretty big contradiction, because according to the Gemara in Shabbos, after 13 and a half minutes on Motzai Shabbos, you need to get out. You're in your car, 13 and a half minutes, and you're already turning on the car. And according to this Gemara, Seis HaKochavim is not till 72 minutes. So that means until 72 minutes, you can't. You gotta keep Shabbos. On the other hand, so the Gemara Shabbos seemingly is a very big kula, right? A big kula, the Gemara Shabbos. 13 and a half minutes on a map. And the Gemara in Pesachim says, if you drive your car 13 and a half minutes, you're out because we kill you. Right? You're kind of skiwa to do that. 13 and a half minutes, you're dead. Right? That's a book called Kill Shots. And according to Gemara in Shabbos, that's mukta. And on the other hand, on Friday, so the Gemara Pesachim is very good to know. Because the Gemara Pesachim says that you can drive on Friday way past Shkia. Certainly beyond 13 and a half, maybe up to, we'll see. Maybe up to 72, we'll see. It doesn't really say that. But and according to the Gemara Shabbos, after 13 and a half minutes of Friday, you're driving 13 and a half minutes, it's already Shabbos. You're Mechal Shabbos. So the Gemara in Shabbos is a good kula for Motzai Shabbos, but it's a chumrah for Friday. Right? And the Gemara in Pesachim is a good kula for Friday, but it's a chumrah for Motzai Shabbos. So, like, who wins here? How do we reconcile these two Gemaras? That is the question, the age-old question. How to reconcile these two Gemaras?
What do you think?
Oh. So on page 4, Tosfos of Pesachim, where we've discussed many times that the different, we've discussed from Rav Chaim Volozhiner many times that there are two ways of learning Shas. What are the two ways of learning Shas? Two ways of learning Shas is like this. One way is to say that all Shas has to fit in unison. In other words, we have this Gemara in Shabbos and this Gemara in Pesachim, and you can't get a bigger steer than that, right? Is it 13 and a half? Was it 72? I mean, so somehow we're going to work hard to mesh these two things together, right? That was always the approach of the Bali Tosfos, right? That's why Tosfos is one of the hardest Mishonim to learn. Because Tosfos assumes in his audience that the audience knows Shas. That's a good assumption, not a good assumption, but that's what he's assuming in his audience. So then he can just quote the Gemara freely and you'll understand what he's saying. So he's trying, Tosfos, all Tosfos is a good thing to know about Tosfos. What he's trying to do is take all of Shas and, of course, different, and try to the best of his ability, make it fit in together, that there shouldn't be no contradictions. That's one approach. Another approach is to say no, that either it's this machlokas asugyas, or it's different opinions, or and you don't necessarily have to
mesh everything together. But the Balei Tosfos were into trying to get everything. Now, others would say that that's pilpul. You could argue with the whole Yesod of Tosfos and say, why should you take it tasty to do that? As Rabbi Michael Rosenzweig once said, the definition of pilpul is assuming that everyone else is assuming everyone else's assumptions. That's what pilpul is. In other words, when Tosfos is asking this question, he's assuming that each Gemara holds from the other Gemara, and then somehow we have to reconcile it. But you could have said no, and we'll see that the two Gemaras are not to be put together for whatever reason. This will become clear as the Shia progresses. Okay. So what does Rabbeinu Tam say? Kosher Rabbeinu Tam. Rabbeinu Tam has this question in the Tosfos of Pesachim in Sadi Dalet. He said that Ben Shmashas of Yehuda that starts from Tishka Chama is 3/4 of a meal. And what makes it even more, difficult. So, in other words, this is not Rabbeinu Tam is saying here, I'm not necessarily trying to make everything dry, but here it's the same person speaking. So you have, don't blame me, Rabbeinu Tam. Don't say I'm a pill-pull person because I'm trying to assume everyone else is assuming everyone else's assumption. No, I'm not that type of person. Don't blame that on me. But here it's the same person. It's the same Rabbi Yehuda. The same rabbi who said in Shabbos that it's 3/4 of a meal, here he's saying it's 4 meal. So v'yesh lomar, the hafa ka'omar mitchila shkia d'haynu misha shemaskela sachami likhanes ba'ovi yirachia ad alayla havei dalad milim v'hasim ka'omar misofa shkia. So he says, no problem. Rabbeinu Tam says there's no problem. What does it mean, no problem? What did the Gemara say in Shabbos? The Gemara said in Shabbos that Ben Shmoshes is 3/4 of a mil. Right? The Gemara says in Tzachim that Seis HaKachamim is 4 mil later. This is very simple. This is Rabbeinu Tam Shita. Listen carefully. And then you'll see how it fits in the Gemara. But let me say it very slowly and clearly and you get it. When the sun sets, what does the sunset mean? Sunset means that you look up in the New York Times. That's not a religious thing. The sunset means the ball of sun has dipped totally below the horizon. You can't see. So it's here, we're in New York, you have all these buildings that are in the way. But if you go into a place, what? Schenectady? Yeah, you can see the sunset? Okay. So you go to Schenectady, and you'll see this, right, the sunset. So you'll see the ball, you see till the end of the horizon, where Manishta Shamayim Ba'aretz converge. You see the till the very end, and you see it. So when the sun sets below the horizon, what we call in our language shkia, so says Rabbeinu Tam that's still vadayom. That's not when Ben HaShmoshos is. Ben HaShmoshos begins 58 and a half minutes after sunset. So up to 58 and a half minutes after Shkia is Vadayom, all its ramifications. You can do Malacha on Friday up to 58 and a half minutes. You can daven Mincha up to 58 and a half minutes. You can have a Bris Milah up to 58 and a half minutes. Vadayom. Bein HaShmoshos only begins what? At 58 and a half minutes.
So the 13 and a half minutes that we're saying is the limbo period are the from 58 and a half to 72. From 58 and a half minutes after sunset to 72 minutes after sunset, that's called not Beit HaShemeshes. That's when is the limbo period. And then at 72 minutes, that's what? That's Vaday Laila, because that's the time that we have three kochavim at 72 minutes. So again, when the sun sets, what we call Shkia, you look it up in the calendar, you look it up in the New York Times, that's still Vadayom for another 58 and a half minutes. It's what? Vadayom. The Suffolk period begins what? From 58 and a half to 72. That's the 13 and a half minutes. You thought the 13 and a half minutes start at Shkia? No! The 13 and a half minutes don't start at Shkia. They start at the 58 and a half point. From 58 and a half to 72, that's Beit HaShemeshes. And at 72, that's what? That's what? Say some kochavim. Well, let me clarify.
Let me clarify several things. So number one, that has all the ramifications. Again, so according to Rabbi Tam, on Friday, you can keep driving up to 58 and a half minutes after the sunset, which is fine. But on Motzai Shabbos, if you decide you want to do Malacha before 58 and a half, then there's a Chiyuv Skila.
You're killed. Don't try.
And Mincha,
daven up to 58 and a half
without any hesitation. And we'll see. That's what, Hasidim, and we'll see that this is how the Shulchan Aruch passes, believe it or not. People sometimes are critical of Hasidim, they daven Mincha late. They're not davening Mincha late, they just follow the Shulchan Aruch. We'll see, the Shulchan Aruch passes like a Beit Tam. Now, we have to clarify one point, okay? And that is, what did the Gemara say? Oh, so let's look at the Gemara Pesachim.
So when the Gemara in Pesachim on Sari Dalar Amar Aleph says that Mishishkiyas Hachama Tzeisach HaChavim Arba Milim, so that means from sunset to Tzeisach HaChavim is 72 minutes, right? Because that's what it is. From sunset to Tzeisach HaChavim is 72 minutes, and the Beit HaShemeshes will be the last 13 and a half minutes of the 72. Right? But so then what does it mean when the Gemara says in Shabbos that Mishatishka Chama, that Beit HaShemeshes starts Mishatishka Chama? What is Tishka Chama mean? Because what's significant, what happens at 58 and a half minutes, that's a demarcation point to say that the 13 and a half minutes start at the 58 and a half minute point? What's significant? You see, if you tell me that it starts at Shkia, so something significant happens. The fact that the ball is beneath the horizon. So something significant. So that's a significant demarcation point that's when the 13 and a half minutes begin. But if you tell me that the 13 and a half minutes begin at the 58 and a half minutes, what happens at 58 and a half minutes that's significant? What's the significance of the 58 and a half?
that's where the first one left. It's totally dark. But there are no stars out yet, so it's not safe. They're still totally dark. There's no light.
So you're going. So Yoel says that perhaps that's a certain time where there is no very little light. Obviously, if there's no light, then you'd see the stars even then, by then, right? But it's dark, but yet you haven't. No, it's a certain measure of darkness. A certain measure of darkness, but yet the stars aren't out. So maybe that's why there's a suffix. Because it's very dark at 58 and a half, but what? The stars are not out. So that's why it's a suffix.
Can I discuss the tunnels, or is that going to confuse everyone with the tunnels? Let's take it slow, yeah.
This is probably like a real thing, but I can see.
So that's what he calls Shkia Rishona and Shkia Shnia. Shkia Rishona is what we call Shkia. That has no halakhic significance. Nothing changes halakhically. Be'ez Hashem, we can have more shiurim in Sanhedrin about this also, you'll see. But when the Gemara says, The Beit HaShemashos begins at Mishetishka Chama for 13 and a half minutes, that's by Shkia Shnia. And Shkia Shnia is, let's use Yoel's, that's a certain level of darkness at that point, and that already could qualify maybe as Lila, because it's very dark. But yet but yet we don't see the stars yet. So for those 13 and a half minutes, that's the point of that. And that is Rabbeinu Tam. Yes. Wait, you want to say, I'm sorry.
Yeah,
in other words, the question is, well, how dark is dark?
Hold.
I heard you. Yeah, Ben?
Meaning? When we say that,
right, in other words, so till 58 and a half minutes, it's Vada Yom, and you could treat it, whatever halachas are in the Yom, you treat it. So therefore, on Friday, it's still considered Friday, and you treat it like a weekday. On Motzai Shabbos, it's still considered Shabbos until 58 and a half, so you have to treat it like Shabbos. If the baby was born up to 58 and a half, so the bris will be on the, you know, counting day one from that day.
But the 72, does the night start at 72nd and first second?
Once it's 72, that's when the three stars appear.
72 minutes and 1 second.
No, 72. No, 72.
Let's say it's 72 minutes at 6 o'clock. Then at 6 o'clock and 30 seconds, that's already night.
If the 72nd minute is at 6 o'clock,
yeah.
So at 6 o'clock...
30 seconds, so night.
Why 30 seconds? Before 30 seconds.
Right, or 6 o'clock and 1 second.
At 6 o'clock and as 1 second, it's already night. What?
As opposed to 6:59.
Once the 72nd minute strikes, it's night. Yeah.
Yes. Okay. Now, this Rabbeinu Tam was the major shita that was accepted among Rishonim, among many Rishonim, Ramban and others. Oh. So comes the Vilna Gaon on page 15. This took me hours and hours to read through the whole Vilna Gaon. We're not going to do it right now and read through the whole Vilna Gaon. I'll show you the main lines to zero in on. The famous line, the famous two words, the famous two words of the Vilna Gaon, which Jacob Schulder basically said, and it's on page 15, and you see the Bir HaGra on the left column. Forget where I put the arrow. Go on the left column, the third line, the last word on the third line. The last word on the third line. Now, we're not going to get into all the ramifications of this, but the point is, he's saying is that it's just not true. Just go out there and see, and you'll see it's not true. You're going to see that the reality of life does not stim with Rabbeinu Tam's perception of what things are. Achush, machish, machol roa. Achush. Achush means the metzias. Is machish, is contradicted. Machol roa, to anyone who goes out and sees, will see that that's not the case. That the stars are visible much earlier than 72 minutes, and other things that he has here. Again, to really go through this Vilna Gaon, you have to spend... which many years ago I spent, you know, a good 10 hours reading every, but we're not going to do it right now, unless you want to stay. But let me give you the Tamtzis HaDvarim. He says, the Vilna Gaon thinks it's Rabbeinu Tam contradicts reality. Oh, but what about the Gemara?
Oh.
So, the Vilna Gaon, in that piece, but it's also summarized on page 16 in another work of the Vilna Gaon called the Shnos Eliyahu. Let me tell you what his shita is outside before we see it inside. Okay? The Vilna Gaon shita is the following. The Vilna Gaon Shita is that when the sun sets, what we call Shia, when we apply sunset, that means the ball dipped below the horizon, right? That is the beginning of Beit HaShemeshes. That is Safek Yom, Safek Laila. Okay? When the ball is below the horizon, that is Safek Yom, Safek Laila. Now, how long does the period of Beit HaShemeshes go on for? 13 and a half minutes. Everybody agrees to that, that Beit HaShemeshes is 13 and a half minutes. Question is, when are these 13 and a half minutes? Rabbeinu Tam said they first started at the 58 and a half minute point. From 58 and a half to 72 is when the 13 and a half minutes are. The Gaon, Bill Gaon says no, that 13 and a half minutes begin at sunset, and they last for 13 and a half minutes. And at 13 and a half minutes, that's when it says a Kochavim. That's when it says a Kochavim, and that's when the three stars appear. So Rabbeinu Tam, they're both agreeing that all you need is three stars.
The Rabbeinu Tam says the three stars come at 72. The Gaon, the Vilna Gaon, says the three stars come at what? At 13 and a half. Oh, so the question is, so that's very good for the Gemara in what? In Shabbos. But what about the Gemara in Pesachim? The Gemara in Pesachim says what? That it's four mil in the space of Chachavim. So what does he do?
So says the Vilna Gaon. Look on page 16. The first word, let's go three quarters of the way down on the first column on page 16. The first words, three quarters of the way down, on Seis HaKochav. Seis HaKochav. Do you see that? Three quarters of the way down. First words on Seis HaKochav. Okay? So says the Vilna Gaon. Says Hakochavim the Hossam Lav Gimel Kochavim. He says like this. Listen carefully. That Says Hakochavim has two meanings: a halachic meaning and a non-halachic meaning. The halachic meaning of Says Hakochavim is Gimel Kochavim. That's what Says Hakochavim is. That's what it's like. Then there's a colloquial Seis HaKochavim, which means all the stars are out. Not just three stars, all the stars. Now that has no halachic significance. That's just a descriptive significance. Like if I want to say, meet me by the building. So is there any halachic significance to the building? No, that's just a demarcation point where I'm telling you where we're going to meet. So the Gemara in Pesachim, when it talks about Seis HaKochavim, is not talking about a halachic Seis HaKochavim. It's just talking about a description of a time of when all the stars come out, which is not a halachic description, but a Mitzvah's description. That the Gemara in Pesachim that says Seis HaKochavim is four mil, that's not referring to the Gimel Kochavim, which is a halacha. The Einenu Haroos, our eyes see, should be Yitzias Gimel Kochavim Medayin Ha'or Gadol B'Marav. We see that when three stars come out, there's still light in the west. So he says that Gemara that says four mil, that's for Kol HaKochavim, and the Kol HaKochavim is not a halachic, has no halachic significance. Kol HaKochavim. That's just descriptive. If you want to say, when the Gemara there was discussing what's Derech Rechoka, and they're making a cheshbon, and they want to show you how to figure out the time, so it says from Shkia to Seis HaKochavim is going to be 4 mil, but not that Seis HaKochavim has any halachic meaning. It's just a description of a time of when all the stars come out. But that's not the Seis HaKochavim that Chazal means when that's Lila. When we say that Lila is Seis HaKochavim, referring to Gimel Kochavim, that's happened at three quarters of a mil after Shkia. That Gemara is not halakhic, the Gemara. That's just a description of a time that doesn't have a halakhic significance. And the Mela, that those four Kochavim is not... those four mil have no halachic significance. It's just a time where all the stars come out. It's relevant for figuring out the cheshbon over there, but not the totality when Lila is. So one second, so we have here, wow, this is a biggie. Like, a very big machlokas here. A very big machlokas of how to deal with the two gemaras. So again, Rabbeinu Pamshita is that the 4 mil of Seis HaKochavim, that's when the three stars are. That's halachic. The Gemara Pesachim is halachic Seis HaKochavim. And the 4 mil is when the three stars come out. So again, the Beis HaKochavim is
when the sun sets for 58 and a half minutes, it's still Radayom. From 58 and a half to 72, that's when Beit HaShemeshes is. At 72, that's what, when Vaday Laila, that's when the three Chachamim are. That's the sheet of Rabbeinu Tam. And the Vilna Gaon disagrees. And the Vilna Gaon says that what? That at sunset, what we call sunset, that's Beit HaShemeshes for 13 and a half minutes. And then what? Then it's at 13 and a half minutes, that's when the three stars come out. That's the three stars. And that's Vaday Laila. And the other Gemara has no halakha significance. The fourth mil over there, that says Kolach HaKovim, and says Kolach HaKovim is not a halakhic significance of the din of Laila.
Now, yeah, Daron.
So, according to the graph, from the time that the wall of the sun goes down, the time that you can actually see stars is 13 and a half minutes.
According to the Vilna Gaon, it's 13 and a half minutes. At 13 and a half minutes, you can see the stars.
Is that
oh, now, let's try. Oh, so you have to realize one thing. Okay? Ready? Now, we're not going to discuss yet who we pass in life, but let's try to understand the Vilna Gaon. I mean, okay, the Vilna Gaon complained to Rabbeinu Tam that, hey, Rabbeinu Tam, I could see stars way before 72. So what are you talking about, right? But, so Daron says back to the Vilna Gaon, Vilna Gaon, I can't see stars at 13 and a half minutes. I don't know where you're talking about. Oh, you have to realize a couple of things, okay? Both the Rabbeinu Tam and the Vilna Gaon are coming to explain the Gemara. Right? How? Where is the Gemara? Bava. Right? Babylonia. Now, so the story is like this. You know the basketball shop. Let me tell you the basketball shop. Remember the basketball shop? The basketball shop. Well, you've been in Eretz Yisrael, so you'll notice that, as in contrast to America, a lot of contrast to America, one contrast to America is that when the sun sets in Eretz Yisrael, it gets dark much quicker than over here. Have you noticed that? Next time you go there, you'll notice. If you take Keshvan when the sun set, and then how long does it take that it really is dark? It's much quicker than in America. What's the Yisod? The Yisod is, and this guy Posen writes in the Sefer, the closer you are to the equator, quicker you're moving. The earth is moving, right? You know all that, right? When you spin a basketball, you spin a basketball on your finger, it's rotating around. So the thicker part of the basketball is moving much, not much, it's moving quicker than the rest of the top part of the basketball, the bottom part of the basketball. Why? Because it's covering more ground. And it has to fit in unison. So the closer you are to the thick part of the basketball, the quicker you're moving. Right? When you're further away from the middle part, you go slower because you're covering, because everything has to jive together. So if you have to cover more territory at the same time that the other part of the basketball is covering less territory, so how does it work? That the middle part of the basketball is going quicker than the top and the bottom. So when you're in Eretz Yisrael or you're in Bavel, obviously we can't notice this. It's too insignificant for us to notice it. But when you're in Eretz Yisrael, you're part of the earth that's closer to the equator. And in Baltimore and Eretz Yisrael, you're closer to the equator than when you are in New York. So you're moving quicker. You're moving quicker. So Mimela,
the way Diane Posen writes in his Sefer, say you have a ball. The Earth is a ball, right? And the light of the Earth is the sun is coming to light up the Earth. So half of it's lit, and half of it is what? Is dark. The part that's facing the sun is lit, the other part is dark. And then when the light and the dark meeting each other, right? So that's like gray, right? Because where the light and the dark are going to meet, it's going to be like a gray garble, a gray band around the whole ball. So Beta Shmashos is going through that band, that period that's where the light and the dark are meeting. And that's that gray period. So the quicker you go through it, the shorter Beta Shmashos is going to be. The slower you go through it, the longer it's going to be. So the closer you are to the equator, the quicker you're going, and therefore your Bein HaShmashos is going to be what? Shorter. So even so, when the Vilna Gaon said what he said, he was explaining the Gemara, which is Bavel. And Bavel is similar to Eretz Yisrael in its distance from the equator. So there, it'll be 13 and a half minutes. But in New York, it's going to be longer because we're further away from the equator. We go slower in New York. And therefore, to get through that band is going to take longer. So mainly, even the Vilna Gaon would agree that it's going to be longer than 13 and a half. But it's not going to be 72. But we'll see what it'll be. It's definitely that. We go slow here in New York, but not that slow. Okay? Oh. Okay, now, how are we doing here? Yeah.
Ball, the Earth is a ball.
Yes.
So if everything is aligned equally, it all moves, then how can one thing move quicker? How can it move quicker? You can have access to all the things all the way around.
Yeah, but I understand, but the thicker part is has more territory, more ground to cover. Yeah, of course it has to move quicker. Because if it doesn't move quicker, then it's not going to be in sync. Yeah. Yeah, he wants to give another one. Yeah. The track question, yeah.
If two people are walking around the track,
yeah.
One's on the inside of the lane,
right.
One's on the outside of the lane.
Right.
If they're walking at the same speed, the guy on the inside is going to be going much, not going much quicker, they're walking at the same speed. He's going to finish
the race.
In order for the outside track guy to keep up with the inside track guy, he's going to have to walk quicker.
Right. Same thing. Because he's ahead longer.
Long. The outside of the lane.
Right. So what do they do when there's a race?
They make it easier to start. They start on a diagonal line that the guy on the outside is first. Is further out.
So they let him, what, they let him start earlier?
Yeah.
They let him start earlier. See? Oh, you see? We're finished. Start. We're probably sleeping. Okay, one second. We got to get everything... So let me tell you like this. There are a lot of things I have to tell you. So who do we paskin like? So now you got... So, who are we passing like? So, the Shulchan Aruch passes like Rabbeinu Tam. And that's on page 17. On page... Yeah, Yoni?
Do you know like the logic of Yisrael
Shachar? I can't hear you.
Do you know the logic of Yisrael Shachar? Do you mean it was just like on New Earth, like the sun comes out of the earth,
yeah, so say what you just said. Yeah, that's good again.
New York.
Right. So let me ask you a question now. So according to what we just said, New York. So we have a machlokas 13.5 according to the Brah, 72 according to the Beit HaTam. But that's about Bavel and Eretz Yisrael. So New York is going to be what? What is it going to be? No, New York. You have to have New York according to the Brah. In New York, according to Rabbeinu, so what should it be then?
But they're both saying that.
In other words, they're both explaining the Gemara. They have two different ways of explaining that contradiction of the two sugyas, right? But whatever way they can explain the contradiction, that contradiction was spoken about Bavel and Eretz Yisrael, which is Eretz Yisrael is similar to Bavel. Now New York is going to be longer, right? So that means that the 13.5 minutes of the Grah in New York is going to be more than 13.5. We'll explain what it is. And the 72 of Rabbeinu Tam is also going to be longer.
Let me listen to that when it gets sunset. When it's night or when it's 3 stars.
Right. Everyone agrees the 3 stars is the night. Right. The question is, when are these 3 stars?
Go outside.
Oh, so go outside. Go outside. Nice. So that's what the Vilna Gaon says. How could you say 72? I see stars before. So what is Rabbeinu Tam going to respond to that? Rabbeinu Tam says, I say the stars are at 72. And in Eretz Yisrael above. And, right, that's what Rabbeinu Tam says. The Gaon says, I see the stars at 13.5. So Yoni Kershner says, what is the Gaon and Rabbeinu Tam on ground? Just go outside. What are they arguing on? Go outside! Oh, so this is a problem that plagued jury for many of what? Go outside! Right? Don't have to be a big physicist, you're a big astronomer, just go outside! Okay, it has to be granted that in New York City it's always going to be a little off. I mean, we have the street lights, so it's not going to be fair. You have to go, connected when there's no street lights. Right? And then you can go outside and see, you know. Okay, so we'll go there. We'll have another Shabbaton. We'll go there. We'll look at it. But go outside. Right? Oh. So for years, we didn't know the answer to this question. Until somebody discovered the following answer. One second. The answer is to be found on page. What page? Where's the Rav Yoch? The Rav Yoch. Yeah, 14. So, as I said again, forget where I put the arrow. You see where I put the arrow? Go on page 14. See where I put the arrow? Go a little further down. You see it says 10 on the sideline? It says 10, 1-0, 10. See that? Shamati b'shem Rabbeinu Yehuda. It's Rabbi Yehuda Chosid. Sheoldim sturim shlosha tachas zeh tachas zeh b'mayim. That's the answer. The answer is like this. Look, the sun rises in the east and sets in the west. Right? So once the sun sets, so it's still going to be light out because the light is still being projected. Right? As the night progresses, the sun goes further down. Right. Now, there are stars all over the sky. Right? The stars in the east, the stars in the west.
which stars are going to be seen later? The stars in the east or the stars in the west? The west. Why? Because the sun is setting in the west, so the sun is going to be interfering with us seeing the stars in the west for a longer time. The stars in the east, we're going to see what? We're going to see much earlier. So Rabbeinu Tam says, when the Gemara says the three stars, it's not three stars anywhere. It's not the three stars in the west. And those three stars in the west are not going to be seen till much later. And that's the 72 minutes. 72 minutes means that three stars can't be just anywhere. In other words, Yoni says, go out and see. So the Rav Yoch quotes from Rabbeinu Yehuda Chassid that you can't just go out and see, because maybe they're arguing on where the three stars have to be. And according to Vilna Gaon, the three stars could be anywhere. And according to Rabbeinu Tam, it's not the three stars in the west. And those three stars in the west are only going to be seen until much later. And Rav Issa Zalman Meltzer was so excited about this, because he said that people weren't taking Rabbeinu Tam seriously, because they were saying it's crazy, it doesn't fit with reality. But now that we have this pshat, now hopefully people will begin to treat Rabbeinu Tam with more seriousness. Someone wrote a whole thick sefer on this topic. This thick sefer. And in the Haskama to the sefer, Rav Issa Zalman said, like, this is the best part of the sefer, that he discovered this Rav Yom. You know, the rest of the sefer is fine, but this is, it made it all worth it for this one line. B'mayr. One word. Three stars B'mayr. The rest of the book you could have whatever. No, it's a great book. It's a classic. Rav Nissen Alpert once told me that's all. That's the classic sefer and Manim, Oros Chaim, the Chaim Druk. And Rav Issa Zalman writes in Haskama that this was all worth it for this one point. All worth it for this one point. Oh yeah. Slow. So first of all, so now we understand maybe what the machlokes is between the Gra and Rabbeinu Tam. And that just because to answer up Yoni's question, right? So now Yoni, right? You got the answer to your question, right? You can't just go out because we got to know which stars count. It might not be all. It has to be three medium stars, maybe. But it could be that you could only count the ones that are in the west. Those are the ones that we were concerned about, because that really shows that it's night, because that really shows that the sun is off. Yes. Okay. Now, so how do we paskin? So you should know, Rabosai, the Shulchan Aruch paskins like Rabbeinu Tam. And not only the Shulchan Aruch paskins like Rabbeinu Tam, but the Ramah doesn't disagree. So it's everybody. Machaber, Ramah, both are Rabbeinu Tam Jews. And this is expressed on page 17 in Hilchos Shabbos Siman Reish Samach Aleph, where you see clearly that the Mechaber is working within the Yedar of Rabbeinu Tam. He says the following: there is a mitzvah of Lahosi Mikol Alakosh. There is a mitzvah that one is supposed to accept Shabbos earlier than when you actually, if one says something chavim, of course you have to accept Shabbos. You can't say, well, I'm not going to keep Shabbos. I didn't accept Shabbos, so I don't have to keep Shabbos. You can't say that. Shabbos comes by itself, but it's an uninvited guest, right? Whether you want it or not, you have to accept Shabbos. It's not but what you could do is, there's a mitzvah that you should accept it earlier than the time that you halachically have to stop doing work. So that's why, according to the Vilna Gaon, once it's Shkia, then you can't do work anymore on Friday.
So the mitzvah of Tosefes Shabbos is to stop doing it even. So some say you have to verbally declare. Some say as long as you're not doing work. You came to shul for mincha, and mincha is already going to be 10 minutes before Shia, so you're not doing work. So some say you should verbalize it. Some say it's enough that you're just not doing the malacha. So once it's Shia, according to the Vilna Gaon, then you're not allowed to do malacha al pi din because it's something yom, something lila. So the mitzvah of Tosefes is even before that. You can't do. You should abstain from doing malacha. And according to the Rabbeinu Tam, it's before the 58 and a half. Sometime before, once it's 58 and a half, then halachically you can't do work on Friday because it's already been a shmashas. So sometime before the 58 and a half, you shouldn't already stop doing malacha. So the Shulchan Aruch says, look in the Shulchan Aruch, Yesh Omrim Shetzaret Lahosik Mikol HaKodesh, page 17, that you have to be mostly mechol al kodesh. Uzman tosefes zeh who mitchilas hashkia she'ein Hashem es niris al ha'arch azman bein hashmashos azman zeh shu gimel milen urviya. Gimel milen urviya means 3 1/4 mil, which is 58 and a half minutes. Meaning, the Shulchan Aruch says like this. Obviously, you can't be Kabbal Shabbos on Tuesday. You can't be Kabbal Shabbos on Wednesday. He can't even mekabel Shabbos on Friday morning. It just doesn't work. He can't, right? Shabbos has its limits. Shabbos, the question is one to mekabel Shabbos or Shabbos has its limits, right? Shabbos has its limits. So how early can you mekabel Shabbos? So the Shulchan Aruch says like this, that the 58 and a half minutes are the time that you can mekabel Shabbos to get the mitzvah of Tosefes Shabbos. You can decide to make all 58 and a half minutes kodesh or a little bit, but as long as sometime before the 58 and a half minutes you mekabel Shabbos, that's the mitzvah of Tosefes Shabbos. You can decide to make all 58 and a half minutes kodesh, you can decide to make part of it kodesh, you can decide whatever you want. And then, once 58 and a half comes, then it's not a question of your being makabel. It happens by itself. Now, according to the Vilna Gaon, nothing to do with 58 and a half minutes. You have to be makabel dafka before Shkia. According to the Mechaber, before Shkia is too early to be makabel Shabbos. It's only within the 58 and a half minutes can you be makabel Shabbos. So you see from the Mechaber, this whole direction here is assuming like Rabbeinu Tam that the 3 1/4 mil you can make that kodesh if you want, or you can make a kosh kodesh, but that's only worth the 58 and a half is only significant according to Rabbeinu Tam. According to the Gra, those 58 and a half minutes, most of them are already badai kodesh, nothing to do with those steps. So it's clear from the way the Mechaber writes here in Reish HaMechal of Siv Beis that he paskins like Rabbeinu Tam, and we don't find, from both sides, we don't find that the Ramah argues. One second. The Ramah does not argue on this point. So you should realize, from both sides, that for hundreds and hundreds of years, the Jewish community always followed Rabbeinu Tam. Not only did they follow Rabbeinu Tam, the kula and the chumra, meaning they would do malacha on Friday up to 58 and a half, which according to the Vilna Gaon is Chil Shabbos. The Gaon would give a sila. But big Jews, I believe they say Rabbi Kivi Eger, that's what the Mechaber says. Yosef Karo, he was one of the rabbis who got smicha. He was in that smicha class, the four-man smicha class. That got the real smicha, right? They got the real thing, and he was one of the four graduating rabbis. For hundreds of years, that was that, and because that's what the Shulchan Aruch Paskin's like. And you have to be consistent. You can't say, I'm going to follow the Gaon, you know, I'm going to follow Rabbi Tam on Friday, but I'll follow the Gaon. You can't do that because that's contradiction. So you're going to get the skila according to both of them. They'll both participate in your execution. Yeah. Oh, so there was a meeting. I have the exact date, if you want me to get the exact date. When the Jews first were coming here to America, and in Europe for generations, in Hungary and other places, they followed Rabbeinu Tam in many places. We'll see that in Eastern Europe, where they didn't, but not in every place in Europe, but in places of Hungary and the Hungarian Jews, they followed. So when they came to America, there was a question what to do, and there was a big meeting of various rabbanim, and it was agreed upon that even those that will follow Rabbeinu Tam will only follow Rabbeinu Tam L'chumra on Motzai Shabbos, but not L'kula on Friday. And that was accepted. So even Hasidim who follow Rabbeinu Tam will not do Malacha already from Shkia in deference to the Vilna Gaon. So, because the Gaon holds the question is, these Hasidim that Be'ikar Adin hold like Rabbeinu Tam, and they're consistent, you can't blame them. They daven mincha late, nothing wrong with davening mincha 50 minutes after the Shkia. It's Vadayom. What's wrong with davening mincha when it's Vadayom? Is anything wrong with davening mincha when it's Vadayom? It's Vadayom. Daven mincha. Ah, the other guy is already... He's davening mincha. The other guy is driving home already, and he's davening atar echad v'shimcha echad mikam chayisu agoy chabart. And then you wave to the guy who's in his car there. You know. But that's so. If you follow Rabbeinu Tam, which is minhag in many Hasidic kehilas and even non-Hasidic kehilas, to follow Rabbeinu Tam, So then you have a right really to follow him, but it was accepted in America that that's considered a breach of the respect to the Vilna Gaon to do Malacha on Friday. But it could be that a person who's a real Rabbeinu Tam person who follows it consistently, it could be that in a Shas Achat situation he may be allowed to, you know, say he's in this traffic jam and he's going to wherever on Friday. So he shouldn't plan it like that, and he shouldn't. But strictly speaking, he would be allowed to keep driving until 58 and a half minutes after the shkia because he's a Rabbeinu Tam person. But if you're a grow person. You're a grow person, then you can't do that. Because if you're a grow person, you end Shabbos early, so you can't say, "Oh, I'm going to rely on a Rabbeinu Tam." Now, many other people have paskin like the grow, even though it's not what the Shulchan Aruch paskin like, but we saw. And sometimes Minhag Yisrael is, we saw by Hilchos Beis Knesses that people eat shuls, even though the Shulchan Aruch holds that guy only works the korbana, not the yuma. So there, especially in Eretz Yisrael with the Talmidei Hagra, so that became the accepted practice in Eretz Yisrael to follow the Gra, the Chazon Ish paskind to follow the Gra. I don't know who davened with Rav Yashiv there on
on Motzai Shabbos. He went? So there, when do they strike they strike that match? Now, he doesn't strike it. But it's before 72, I was told. Yeah, before 72, that match. He himself, I don't think, will do Malacha before. Probably. Yeah. Oh. What? He folds his talus. Folding his talus is no big deal. You know, whereas folding a talus is not a real malacha, and it's so even though folding a talus it's a halacha about might be in some type of din derabanan of sorts that we could talk about, but it's right. But yeah, I don't think he would turn on a switch till yeah. Oh, yeah, 1 second. There's a lot to say here. Okay. Now, so what's the 45-minute thing? That's the regular shul that you will go to. Is what? They'll 45 minutes. Is when it's apt. So what is that all about? What's the 45-minute thing? Right, most shuls, 45 minutes after Shkia, that's when they daven Imar, and that's when people are going to go home and drive away. So we mentioned, Rabbi Osai, that, okay, so the Shulchan Aruch passed on Rabbeinu Tam, but we said that many people don't follow Rabbeinu Tam. It's definitely, I shouldn't say definitely, but in other words, as chumras go, it's not something that's, you know, if you want to follow Rabbeinu Tam, it is something meritorious, because the Shulchan Aruch says, like Rabbeinu Tam, but again, everyone has to see their own personal life situation and how it's going to. That was the shiur we gave Friday night in Hillcrest about sometimes how mitzvahs ben adam lamakom, you have to be careful about ben adam lachavero, and sometimes it's going to be a burden on other members of the family if you're going to. So yeah, everyone has their own life situation of how that could play out, and has to keep that in mind. But you know, in a situation where, in other words, it's not a crazy. In other words, in the realm of Chumras, Rabbeinu Tam held his thing was not a chumrah. He held the so even if you want to say that you follow the Vilna Gaon, it's not a crazy, you know, to take upon oneself Rabbeinu Tam. But again, you have to see how it's going to play out in your whole life situation and who you're going to be putting a burden on. And if, because look, the Vilna Gaon was definitely somebody who was in this area was relied on by many segments of Klal Yisrael to follow the Vilna Gaon. Now the question is like this: How does New York work now? How does New York work? So there are two approaches. There are two approaches to New York. There's Rav Moshe Feinstein and Leo Levy. Okay, Rav Moshe Feinstein and Leo Levy. These are the two approaches to New York. Rav Schechter is a big fan of Leo Levy. He's not like Rav Moshe Feinstein. Okay. Leo Levy. Okay, Rav Moshe in the Tshuva on page 27. We can't read the whole tshuva now, but look around page 28. The paragraph that begins, yeah, Aval. The paragraph, page 28, the paragraph that begins Aval. In other words,
the 30, 13 and a half of the Vilna Golden, the 72 of the Rebbeinu Tam, obviously was only in Eretz Yisrael and Bava. As we said, it's not going to be Shavu in all places. The Tolei Zeh Ba'ofakim, it's Tolei in the latitude. You know, how far you are from the equator. To the east of Agra, from Mishnah Brewer, Mira Lach, of Omikomis, Kulbein Lekulu Ben Lechubra. Po America, Be'irenu New York. Vechein New Jersey. Vechein V'chol Mekomas Hakayetz Baharim. And all the, you know, the Catskills, maybe the Poconos also, throw them in. She'elo Mekomas Hayisi Ba'atzmi. He says, I was there myself. Mokavisha Shemad Kimat Rov Are America who came. And he thinks, he says, even though he wasn't in all of America, but he heard that most of America is like this. So listen to this. Asher kechamishi minut achar shkia kvar kol ha-shamayim olei ha-kofom. Rav Moshe writes that 50 minutes in America, in New York, New Jersey, Catskills, and most of America, 50 minutes, he says, the whole sky is full with... So it's not only three stars, it's... Kvar kol ha-shamayim olei ha-kofom. U-choshach ke-emza ha-layla. V'lo pochas... He says, we have in New York by 50 what they had in Europe by 72. So, now this is the paradox of the world, this Rav Moshe. Because we got through saying that Rabbeinu Tam is 72, that's Eretz Yisrael. If you want to do Rabbeinu Tam and what? In New York, it's much more. Rav Moshe holds that if you keep 50 in New York, you've fulfilled Rabbeinu Tam. If you keep, even though he says it's nice to wait 72, whatever, but 50 in New York, you've already fulfilled Rabbeinu Tam. Because he says nothing. No more stars are coming out. So nothing is changing between 50 and 300 minutes. Nothing is changing. So he feels that if you did 50, now the question is, but the Chorot, oh, now this is the opinion of what? This is called the opinion of the Minchas Kohen. The Minchas Kohen says that you'll take a look in the Sefer Mavoh HaShemesh, which is the Minchas Kohen. He says that the whole thing that a four mil is only if you're not sure. You can't really see the stars. You're in the mount, you're in a valley, and you can't see. But if you mamash see the stars and they're there, then even Rabbeinu Tam would agree you don't have to wait the four mil. And that's how some say Rav Moshe was working with. Which seems to be a little strange, because we normally assume that anything 13 and a half according to the Gra and the 72 according to Rabbeinu Tam, that's Eretz Yisrael and Bavel, and in New York it's more. Oh, so the 45 that people do, the 50, 45 is like 50 the time you leave shul, so you fulfill Rabbeinu Tam according to Rav Moshe. But the Pashup Shah is not like that. The Pashup Shah is that if you want to fulfill Rabbeinu Tam in New York, it's at least 72, if not more. So one second. So the other way of learning the 45 is that it's an elongated Vilna Gaon. Because the Vilna Gaon was 13 and a half, but we said we're further away from the equator, so we should... So how long should it really be? So there's only one person who dared to print what he felt was the real truth.
on this matter. Only one person who dared to do it. And that was Leo Levy, Professor Leo Levy, who wrote a book called Jewish Chronomy. And he was the only one on page 29 and 30. He was a Talmid Chacham, he's still alive. He lived in the Kol Chaim Berlin, and then he lives in Eretz Yisrael. And he does these, he wrote interesting books, and he's a very knowledgeable man. So let's, what did I Xerox? Yeah, I Xeroxed. Yeah, let's take today. What's today? November what? 9th. Oh, November 9th, page 29, November 9th. Okay. So Shkia is what time? 444. Right? 444 is Shkia. Right? 1644. Right? You got it? So now he has the Gra. So the Gra, he says, is 1707. This is New York City. So when is that? 507. So how many minutes is that? 23. So that's what he holds. Again, it's going to fluctuate probably within a 10-minute thing. But he holds that Me'ikir Hadin, the Vilna, in other words, 13 and a half is Eretz Yisrael. But, so we said New York needs more. But it doesn't need that much more. Right? We're slow, we're not that slow. So 13 and a half in New York becomes 23 because we're further away from the equator. So he holds that that's the Iker Hadid of the Vilna Gaon. So even though, you know, most people don't do, I wouldn't recommend you do this. Maybe if you really have a Shas HaKak, you know, it's maybe you could die to know what these. So we keep 45. So 45 is nice, you know, those that keep 45 is a nice, good 20 minutes extra. So you have a nice Tosefis, a nice, but, you see, he's the only one who dared to print the truth of what the Vilna Gaon really would hold in New York. You see, because it's seemingly that there was another meeting, I don't know about all these meetings, but there was another meeting that in New York, since in certain parts of Europe they kept 45, that they were going to keep at least minimum of 45 in New York, and no one should do anything before 45. There was some meeting like that also, when they ever had these meetings that they, you know, so they had a 45. So the two meetings I told you is that it was a meeting that you should never go follow the Rabbeinu Tam Lekula on Friday. And then another meeting that they should keep 45. But in the Kolel, Rav Shechter, you know, they daven Maariv based on Leo Levy. That they, in other words, in the summer months, they'll only daven if they can fulfill Leo Levy's and Rav Shechter, I think, likes the next one is the Gra, then the next one is Rav Shneur Zalman, that's the Shulchan Aruch Harav, and then the 70. Oh, so let's see, what is Leo Levy? Oh, so Leo Levy says that what? That in New York, 13 and a half minutes of the Vilna Gaon became what? 23, at least at this time of year. Let's see what Leo Levy says about Rabbeinu Tam. Let's see this one. Ready for this one? Okay. Okay. Shkia again. 444. Now go to Rabbeinu Tam. Six twenty-seven. How much? How many? 103. From 444 to 627. 444 to 627 is what? 103? Yeah, so he says, not like Rav Moshe. See, Rav Moshe's a Pella, that Rabbeinu Tam should shrink. So Rav Moshe was working with the Milchas Kohen, that the Rabbeinu Tam's 4 mil is only if you can't really see the stars. I remember Rabbi Peretzky, Zatzal, was the Bochen in the yeshiva before Rabbi Shulman. And Rabbi Peretzky learned in Radin. He knew the Chafetz Chaim. So he said that when he was in Radin, I apologize that I'm going over a little bit, but it's kedai to finish off so you get the full picture here, even though the picture's never over, but at least you get the Rebbe. And Rebbe Koretsky told me that when he was in Radin, Chaim wasn't as well. He didn't come to the yeshiva, but guys would go to his house on Shabbos, and he would give a mussar shmooze in the house between Mincha Maariv on Shabbos. And then he would send his Shabbos out. They didn't have calendars and things like this, you know, the charts and that. They just looked in the sky. So the Chofetz Chaim would send out his Shabbos. And he'd ask the Shabbos, do you see three stars? And if there were three stars, then they would go out in Maariv. But sometimes, I guess, the shmooze would go over a little bit. And he said, no, you don't have to go out. Three stars are, I'm sure the three stars are there. So, so I hope you have some clarity. I think we presented it hopefully in a clear way. But you should understand, Rabbi Osai, that, well, let me just conclude 1 minute, and then we'll daven mincha, and I apologize for going over. This is a classic machlokas, the Gron, Rabbeinu Tam, and there are other shitas of Gaonim that preceded the Rishonim that seem to follow along the lines of the Vilna Gaon. It's not like the Vilna Gaon was the first one to, if you look at the package there, there's a tshuva from the Maran al Shakar, who quotes the opinion of Gaonim. Gaonim preceded Rishonim. That's what Rabbi Aaron Kahn, Shlita, is of the opinion that the Minim used to be like the Gaonim, and to follow what we call the Vilna Gaon Shita. And then once Rabbeinu Tam came with his presentation, like, he changed the world. And that wasn't only Rabbeinu Tam. The Ramban agreed with him, the Rashba agreed with him, other Rishonim, and then the Mechaber ultimately passed it like him. And then the Minim changed. And then what the Vilna Gaon tried to do is to restore the original Chadesh Yameinu B'Kedem, the original Minim. So different people, Rav Osai, have different shitas. Again, as I said, in America, it was makubal to keep at least 45 minutes. That was like the thing that was makubal. To say someone to keep 72 is, even Rav Moshe writes, is meritorious. And it could be, according to Leo Levy, 72 is not enough. You have to keep at least... And again, it's going to fluctuate by the time of year. But it's important to know, in certain situations, what's really Me'ikar Adin. In certain situations, I remember Rabbi Harari told me, the last year of when Rav David Lifshitz was still alive in the yeshiva, and he wasn't well, but he was fasting on Yom Kippur, and his son-in-law, Dr. Waxman, asked Rav Shechter, when can he eat? So Rav Shechter was makel for him, that, you know, when the, whatever the earl, you know, the Iker Hadin. So it's, sometimes it's important to know what is really the Iker Hadin. And that's what he points out. According to the Vilna Gaon, the Iker Hadin of the Vilna Gaon in New York for November 9th is only 23. So Iker Hadin, according to the Vilna Gaon, you could probably even do Malacha. Even though if you really don't have a real pressing need to do so, so since it's Makubal to wait to 45, you should, you know, wait to 45. But it's you know, that's the way halacha is in general. That the more you learn in halacha, the more you know what's Iker Adin and what's a chumrah. The less you know, the more you have to, you know, make yourself crazy and make other people crazy. That's usually was a lack of knowledge. The more you know, the more you know how what's really the Iker Adin, what's a chumrah, and then you have to have a sensitivity of knowing when chumrah is appropriate, and when it's not appropriate. There definitely is room to say that to follow Rabbeinu Tam, because the Shulchan Aruch passed the Rabbeinu Tam. And not only to follow Rabbeinu Tam, but to follow Leo Lieber's Rabbeinu Tam. But on the other hand, you have to see how that's going to affect the other members of the family and things like that. And if it's not, so then there's definitely room to follow the Vilna Gaon and that. So it's important to understand the halacha, not just to know, you know, it says in the calendar this, and that's, understand what it's based on and what's the whole background. And as Hashem, we should be zocher to always do the right thing in the right situation.